Right, this is going to be another episode of Counterpoints. I'm here with Maniac. So obviously, IM Cologne is underway, the group stage, the playing's all done. Now we got those days before the transition to the Lanxess and the playoffs. It's funny because there was a point in this tournament where people were probably getting overhyped at things like Mongol's Run and the Liquid Run, and everyone was going like, oh my goodness, these playoffs are going to be crazy. It's going to be like Saw, Liquid, Mongol, and then at the end it's just Saw and all the big teams. Like, so it's funny in a way, like for someone like me who doesn't actually like the underdog runs, because spoiler, Cinderella always, the clock strikes 12, the carriage turns back into a pumpkin, the guards turn back into mice, and then you've got nothing, and then you have the guy in the Lanxess going like, and then they do nothing. So I prefer it when the good teams make it pussy. So actually, I have to say, not only have I sort of, in the end, enjoyed the Cologne so far, but I actually think the playoffs look really good. Like, it looks like it could be really exciting. Very, I think it's wide open as two wins as well.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think we have 5 out of 6 teams that are definite candidate for playoffs whatsoever. I mean, G2, Maus, Na'Vi, FaZe, Vitality, you would anyway have them in the top 6 in Cologne. And then Saw, I mean, you look at the run they've had and You have to legitimize it. Like, you have to legitimize just slapping the head out of G2 to 0. You have to legitimize taking a map up of Na'Vi as well. So this has been very, very impressive on the side of Saw. Very deserved as well. Not like they just flew their way through an easy bracket. And, man, the FaZe comeback. 11-1 down. 11-1 down on the third map. 12-3 down. And still being able to pull it together and go to Cologne. To go to Lanxess, this, oh my God. I was watching it on behalf of Saw, and I could imagine their pain as they saw Liquid just slowly throwing away that lead, just letting FaZe come back into the game, clutch after clutch, round after round, realizing that they were going to have to face FaZe Clan in the arena. This FaZe that now has somehow, they've managed to manufacture this like hypey, passionate Counter-Strike again. Like, this was the theme that they had coming into Cologne. That's how they addressed in all of the interviews. They said, we're trying to find some fire again. And apparently it worked. Somehow it worked. Somehow this incredible comeback. And now I'm definitely scared. I'm definitely scared for whoever is going to go up against FaZe now that they've realized this comeback. So I don't know where you see FaZe and their limitations, but I feel like you had to put them down. You had to put them down if you were Liquid. There was the moment.
Okay, you give me the whole gamut there. So start with Saw. I actually think Saw's hella overrated. Saw actually exposes the one flaw with this format. In general, I think this is the best format we have in Counter-Strike. But here's the one flaw, Maniac. Because it has that thing where if you win the 2 BO3s, you're in the match where even if you lose, you go to the playoffs. It means that you can have this happen. So you know what? When you beat G2... Right now, G2's amazing. Well done. Problem is, then you should have a really hard opponent. But this one time, you got Mongols. As soon as you beat Mongols, you're in the playoffs already. So really, you beat G2. Now, this is the one area where I almost wish only the winner of the winner's bracket went to the playoffs and there was a low bracket and then two came out of the low and you had one more match. If Saw gave me one more game and it was against a Liquid or a Fit, then I'd say, okay, now you're justified. Essentially, I'll give you... By the way... Before anyone tries to hate on me, I literally bet that Saw would win Nuke against Na'Vi. I won that bet. And I bet they'd lose 2-1 to Na'Vi. That also happened. So I am aware of Saw's limitations and strengths. The problem is this. They're just not very strong players. They've got a couple that can sort of do something. The bottom end of the team, I don't care how wide your bleeding heart is for Majur and Mutri. That's a piece of trivia that they used to play a long time ago. They weren't top players back then, and they are top players now, mate. Like, they're people who were just there. At best, you maybe go with the sports analogy. Oh, they're here to, you know, give experience. What experience? This fucker's never been in a Cologne playoffs. He knows nothing about that. By the way, Mutrius, in theory, should be shivering just like the rest of him when he's on that stage. That experience can only come by literally happening. You can't just, like... Oh, yeah, I saw him go to the stage. I saw him win a tournament. You don't ever win anything from that. You have to actually do it yourself. So the problem I have is in their team, they have a couple of players. You Jerks isn't bad. There's a couple that aren't bad in that team. Story can do a thing or two at times. But I think Saw are the most obvious team that are just going to get battered in these playoffs. Like, so them, look, for you, you can enjoy that thing like people on the desk do where you all want that story. Hey, it's the plucky underdog scrapping away.
Their story ends against FaZe.
Yeah, it's done. So, okay, that came and went. It's been and done. So I also think that's like maybe that's the one flaw of the playoffs. I've seen that happen a couple more times. I remember back in the day, there was a run where NIP went to the 2019 one similar. I think they beat one good opponent and then they got like an easier matchup and then they just lost the upper match to Astralis or something. They went to like top six at like that fucking one where Ziwu was in the final. It's happened before with other teams. It's just different. It's normally not a minnow. Normally it'll be like, you know, a mid-table team. Like the joke is, it would be more realistic if someone like fucking Furia did it or Falcons. At least they're players we know. So the Saw one, I can never get that invested. You have to either actually be good and I know in the future it's going to mean something, or at least I want one player. Like, I've told people this story before. MIBR's not a top team. Maybe they never will be with this lineup. But I like to watch Insane play. I think he's better than a lot of players, actually. He's actually a player I think is legitimate hype if you go and watch his games. I've watched him in many tournaments, like a year and a half now. Then on the TL one, you know what? On these ones, on the Saw one, that was just a response. On the TL ones, we can go back and forth if you want. Here's where we're going to disagree, Maniac. This is where you're coming in hot with the desk narratives. And I'm here, since you're coming in hot, to throw that British, blunt, earnest, cold bucket of water in your face and tell you, cool off. Take a seat over there. You've got it out of control. That passion's gone overboard. Because you know when you just said that there? I was like, they were so close. They could have taken them down. First things first. If we're playing coulda, woulda, shoulda, if, well, then it's 2-0 FaZe. There was no third map. What are you talking about? FaZe had the game done. That was it.
Yeah, but it was 12-9. It wasn't 11-1.
Okay, and how did they lose that 12-9, Maniac? What round happened then? Explain it to me.
A 3v5 on the B side.
And are you supposed to lose 3v5s?
No.
So then I've got the... Thank you. 2-0. 2-0 FaZe. Thank you. I accept it. We're doing woulda, coulda, shoulda, and if, right? We're doing what you should have done. So you've agreed with me. FaZe should have won 2-0, yes?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it was 2-9 and they lost a 3v5. That happens in Counter-Strike.
Then why are you saying like they should have closed out? They could have closed...
I said they could have closed out. When you're up 12-3, yeah, you have 9 rounds to close it.
Okay. If you say could have, how would they have closed it out? Give me an example. What could they have done?
I mean, you've watched the game?
Yeah, here's the thing, mate. I did watch the game. You know what you don't do? You don't go halfway into the map, take zero sights, zero map control, sit there with your star player twists, just looking for duels between smokes, between things, waiting for a comm, looking for a duel, looking for a duel, looking for a duel. Meanwhile, while you're sat there, because the opponent, by the way, has to win every single round, this isn't a normal team. You're not playing against Mouse, who might just hold and go, look, we'll get over the line eventually, lads. Like, just stick with it. Like, we have to just hope everything goes perfectly. You're playing against Carrigan. And what Carrigan does, and his individual players, Rain does it, Rops was doing it, what they do is, they know, look, each round's almost going to be a miracle in itself, so we're going to make a play. Carrigan's going to do a push here. You know what, Rops, do some crazy information play. Check if you can see up mid for no reason. You might get killed, but you know what, if you get killed, the game's over anyway. Liquid, that's the mistake, right? If you go watch Maniac, I'm not even joking, they didn't actually do a throw. They didn't do a bad play, a stupid rush. They didn't pull out and get peaked instantly. What they did is they just sort of did nothing. That was what killed me about it. And so the reason why I bring this up is because if we're simultaneously going to say, one thing we got to say is, you know, A plus for job for twists. I think he was embarrassed himself on that map. I think that's a map where I agree if you had a top team and a top IGL. Look, here's the reason why it's not Flame. Because I don't expect him to be at that level yet. This is a brand new lineup. I don't expect Ultimate to actually go head to head with the best teams in the world and clap them. If you notice, by the way, in their team, an underrated part of his game is obviously, like, oh, he's good in the clutch. Because TL still doesn't use him like an AWPer. They use him at the back and he takes his shots and he comes in and he's like the guy at the end of the game. You know what I mean? Like, they don't use him like, right, we're going to set up a platform. You're going to AWP this guy. Once we get the pick, you go here, the backstab comes in, the utility, they're not using, so as a result they're still a mess. TL, the key thing is this: the players are good. I told you JKS would be good. You know Naf's always going to be solid. Twists himself is doing a great game, but I will say, and this is why I get scared for that device angle, he looks like he calls around himself sometimes on T-side. Now here's the thing, he gets the kills, Maniac, so on a level it's justified, but that has always been my fear with every single star rifler that goes IGL, Shox, Nico. The tendency is, because your style of calling was the star caller, the second caller, you tend to do that a lot early on, and I think he does that a lot in this team, and I think here's the problem. People are looking at TL wins and they're not realizing, bro, Twist's IGL call has nothing to do with JKS winning a clutch. It has nothing to do with Naf doing an interesting play in the middle and getting two kills and pulling back. It has nothing to do with Ultimate hitting a nice AWP shot, you know what, on the no scope or something. Like, these are, I don't give him like no marks. I don't say he's bad. I actually will say I'm actually somewhat surprised. He was better than I expected. And he even kept his own form up and called around himself. These are positives, but we're contrasting him against FaZe Clan here. You know what I mean? Like, this is a team where they aren't punks, mate. You had to earn it against FaZe Clan. And here's the difference. When I watched that half, I don't go, Liquid, you bums. I go, you actually did do, funnily enough, what FaZe Clan did in the Boston Major when they reached 15. You sat there and waited for people to just peek in and you give you the game. And what FaZe Clan did was they earned those rounds, mate. So every single thing was a play, a set play, a smoke, a flash, a push, a three-man hold. There was a lot of play. I think, here's the problem I have, Maniac. Which is harder, to get up 12-3 or to come back from 12-3? It's got to be the latter, but if you say it's a throw, you take some of that away. Because go on, give me your thoughts then.
No, it's not a throw. So I think I meet you halfway, because I rewatched that game this morning and I looked at round precisely the gun rounds, which is the ones that actually mean something to me. I meet you halfway because I think Liquid played the two or three first gun rounds. I don't have a massive criticism.
No, they were fine. That was just hero plays from FaZe, yeah.
Exactly. These were like regular, good A execute. You have one A execute. You have one split through middle with mid pressure.
They tried everything.
Exactly. So these are like decent rounds. And then in most of them, I think Rops has like a multi-kill.
Rops was on one, mate. He was on one.
He was splendid. Like, he was fucking splendid. Yes. And I was watching the pace at which he got the multi-kill, and I was thinking, maybe in some iterations you could argue Liquid's time to kill was too low and someone could have traded him earlier. But the truth is, he actually just dismantled them. And I think what happened is that they got shell-shocked. I think once you got to 12-8, that's when I think they started getting shell-shocked. And this is where probably it lands a little bit on Twist's doorstep and their lack of experience as a team. Because once I saw that scoreline and I saw how the gun rounds went and built to that point, I thought, shit, they are starting to realize that their normal A plan is not going to lead them to a victory. And now you scramble. Now you struggle. Now you slow down the pace. Now you don't leave yourself enough leeway. You don't play the mid-round, which, honestly, I agree with you that JKS clutching and ultimate multi-kill with Yob don't have to do anything with Twist per se, but I still think that up until that point, they had some very decent late-round calls. I saw them maneuver defenses on the T-side, which I think some of it is on Twist's behalf. But in that game specifically, I could feel that the stakes got to them. And the situation got to them. And once it was 12-8, even though technically you're 5 kills away from qualifying to LAN success, it felt like the pressure was on them. And FaZe did what basically Djokovic does in tennis, which is they defended. They defended all the way.
You keep putting the ball over the line.
Exactly. Come back at me. You want to do an ace bit? We're going to trade one for one for one. I'm never going to give you a double entry. You're never going to have a comfortable post plan. You are going to bleed all the way. And we're going to just eke that little victory towards the end. So I was a little bit heartbroken for them on account of the two or three first gun rounds, which I don't think they misplayed. But after that...
No, by the way, I'm with you. The first couple, they actually just did normal strats and they could have won. Yeah. They just lost the key gunfight. Sometimes they're even a kill away, you know, from winning the game.
Sure.
But you know what I mean? Later on, they definitely did what I just said. They did that thing where they just held on T-side. It was almost like when you play the Nightmare FPL pug where no one will go in first. You know what I mean? You sat there and you're like, boys, we have to go in eventually, but no one wants to go. They want you to go so they can bait you and get the kill. Like, that was happening. And then also... this is a concept where this is the reason why it might blow people's minds, but I have actually had some of the greatest Hall of Fame players in both League of Legends and Counter-Strike ask me before, would I consider coaching their team? It's not a troll. And I've always said no. I mean, one reason I said no is, first of all, like, I have a whole other job. My passion is like journalism, talking, giving opinions. I want to be in the space of ideas. If I'm a coach, I know people like Yanko Kasad have tried to do the content thing and Moses as well. I think it just gets messy at that point in time. Like, for example, how can I criticize Ziwu and him underperforming in a final? If I'm coaching, I'll just make up a team that it isn't. Complexity. And then Allzuck's whiffing all over the place. Like, it already infers, like, I can't do it, can I? It'd be too silly to do at that point in time. So in that scenario, I already wouldn't do it for that reason. Secondly, until now, I don't believe most players would ever really give you the full agency you'd need to do what I want to do. But I'll tell you one thing that did always tempt me, and it's this, is that I think I'm actually very good at understanding abstract metagame concepts that transcend individual esports games. And I've got one for you here that I'm so sick of players and teams not using, because Liquid failed at this utterly, which you said it there perfectly. As soon as those first three gun rounds were gone, even though you've still got a million miles to go off your FaZe. And by the way, it's not even like you have an amazing economy. You're still having to sometimes skimp here and there. And you often like decide, do I get the util here and there and all the rest of it, right? And also, by the way, they weren't just sitting back all the time. They were also, each time, someone made a play on the map. Someone played a mare mid, someone played a mare under. Someone, Brokey picked up in the upper to see if you got the guy there. You make a play on a ramp. You check into the halls if you're Carrigan. You make all these plays, so you're gambling all the time. Here's where Liquid failed. They were too in their heads thinking about them, how they felt, and the fact that they should win and they should get over the line. What they never thought about is what should FaZe feel like. Because here's what you need to do. It's a concept where what you need to do is, this is what a timeout is perfect for. It's why a coach is the only one who can do this. The IGL, I don't think, can do it in the moment. The coach needs to be able, in a timeout, to tell you this. Guys, think about their position they're in at the moment. One, they're CT on Mirage. That means we dictate where the fight takes place. In fact, often, unless they gamble correctly, we even dictate the rotation. Like, they can get trapped in the A site if we pull someone up and draw someone to the ramp, or we have a fighter connected, and then we do our attack on B. If we do that, imagine when we're on the other side. If we knew we couldn't lose a round, and we have to win all these rounds, and we also have got, like, just enough economy, imagine the feeling of tension. Imagine the feeling of the round slipping away when the kill comes. If you think that way, then you tell them, make them feel that way. Do things in the round that make... You know what you should... Obviously, you've done on a couple of these. Just a couple. A couple of them, once you realise the first three went, a couple should have been pure gambles. You should have done something crazy like a four pop in the B, but full on. No stopping, no bait the first guy out, no look from the window, no nade. Just, two flashes of smoke and you're out. And even if they get the first two, I'm gambling. We take Carrigan there. And suddenly... Brokey's pushed. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted. Because if you do that, even if FaZe wins every one of those rounds and holds Maniac, holy fuck, would even FaZe feel like they're on the edge of the flight or flight response? They themselves feel... That's where you can even get a FaZe player's hand to shake in the 1v1. Instead, what you did in this scenario was you made FaZe feel like they were the lion and you were the fucking sheep. And if you come towards them, I'm going to tell you, they were almost by the end. Like that round at the end when Carrigan pushes up and he fucking him up with the AUG and he pushed up that time where he's swapping between the guns. Dude, you let Carrigan, who objectively his aim is fucking bad, you let him feel like a fucking stud. He was styling on you because he knew you were scared. He knew you didn't think he'd push. And when he did, you thought he's not coming for three, and he was. And the craziest thing was you didn't create a theory of mind of your opponent. In fact, I agree with you. You almost saw them as though they're the ones leading the game. Yeah. That's what it felt like. You know what I mean? So listen, this isn't the end of the world. FaZe Clan should be one of the hardest teams to beat. If there's ever going to be someone to gatekeep the stage like this, it should be FaZe Clan. You want someone like FaZe Clan or a Blade Na'Vi team, because that's where, when you're trying to graduate as an IGL like Twists or Shuhei, that's where you have to go and test that guy. That's why, by the way, when Shuhei can clap Vitality 3-0 in a final, you know what? Even if it isn't in a stadium, give him like his first diploma there. He hasn't got the master's degree yet, but you know what? He's graduated the course. There you go. You graduated the course. You've shown you can do it. You've overcome these things. So that's one area I think already TL had a problem with. And then the other thing is this. In this tournament, they lost to FaZe twice, beat Furia twice, because obviously beat them beforehand. And then you played what? It was the other team. Call.
They
played
Call. They beat Complexity, yeah.
The problem there is this. You can absolutely be hyped about Team Liquid. You should be, because I thought this roster might flounder entirely. It's already clearly better than the last roster. Remember, they beat Na'Vi at Blast. You had close games against FaZe. You have beat Cole. Listen, that's pretty good. If I have to aggregate you now, that means you might actually be starting off as like the 8th or 9th best team in CS.
Yeah,
hey,
fair enough.
What a great spot to be in. The problem was people were seeing those ultimate numbers and people were seeing them win and people were seeing them clap Furia, who, by the way, right now, I guess in their case, they're not a paper tiger mini. They're a paper jaguar, because that team is not good and barely were in this tournament at all. So I think people just got a little bit too hyped off that. Like, here's the difference. Yep. If Liquid had have won, look, if they'd played Saw, yes, I believe they could have beaten them. But I think Vitality would have murdered this team in the semifinals. So in some ways, even though I get why people were hyped, and by the way, that can all continue. Those two people, I just gave the comment on there, Ultimate, who was a little bit overhyped. He's more of a CT AWPer at the moment. I don't think they know how to use him in the system in Liquid yet. And Twists as the IGL, they're just brand new at the job. You've got to give them time. They're not going to be great out the gate. They're actually doing fairly well at the moment, but they're not going to already elevate to the top level. So no. I don't have a problem with Liquid. I am actually glad FaZe is the one that goes through, though. We can talk about FaZe now if you want.
Me too. Now, just to close on Liquid. Yeah, I'm happy FaZe is through, of course. I have no problem with that. What I am very excited about is the final Ultimate. Like, I know he's not a finished product, But as a find, it's pretty exceptional. Like the sort of character he's displaying already now in game, like his temptation to make the difference. I've seen him like cross smokes and use a grenade to get peeks and all. He's not just a passive scared upper. He's a playmaker. He takes risk. He seems like he's got a healthy amount of arrogance into his game.
Do you know what, Manny, on that point, very quickly, you know, he did that interview. I'm trying to find where the actual quote is of what he said. Oh, there you go. It just said, ultimate on skepticism. They have to admit they were wrong. Now, I don't at all, by the way, brother. You didn't beat any top 10 team in this tournament. Like, you beat up Colin Furia. Like, I don't have to admit that makes you an elite AWPer. That's Halzerk and Fallen there, mate. I'm not exactly like shit in my pants because you beat them. But I'll tell you what, Maniac, even though I think he's wrong, I like that he had the balls to say it. I'd rather him do that than go, oh, guys, I know I'm not much now, but I promise I'll prove my... No, I want him to sort of think, hey, I'm the shit because he plays like that.
Yeah, he's got attitude. He's got attitude, yeah, and I think that's I like necessary. That. If you're going to be in a roster with Twisted, Yekindar, and NAF, a team like Liquid, you need to have a bit of an attitude so you can put yourself on the map and you can make these plays. So he himself, I think, is a cause for excitement for Liquid. And then the thing is, once that is sort of established, and I think Cologne already warrants an attention to him, like a curiosity to him. We're not going to say, oh my God, he's one of the best offers in the world. It was like, wait, hold on a minute. You have my attention after this. You went up against a very decent field. Your stats were great. The plays were here. So you have that. Then NAF is someone I probably will always believe in. Like I will always believe in NAF's ability to keep up with whoever is coming up against him. I think he's always been criminally underrated and like his floor is extremely high. And so you have NAF, you have ultimate, and it seems, and we have to be conditional here, it seems like Twist's level isn't going to fucking plummet. Yeah. He's not plummeting. He's still capable of multi-kill. He's still capable of like having these moments within late round clutch where
he's
like
the best player on the team still.
Exactly. Going on a turret and changing the course of a post plan. So now that in itself, that's like a trio that I can sort of relate to. I can hope for, believe in.
Yes.
I think JKS, even though I think JKS's value has shown through a couple of trades on the D side and the clutches, because he still remains like...
He's a mega clutch player, mate. He just is.
But I will say mechanically, I think he still has a little bit of way to go. Mostly on the CD side.
He's been up for a while.
Yeah, exactly. So he's been abused a couple of times on the CD side, so I will give him some leeway to figure himself out. And
there's one name you left off. There's one name you left off there, mate.
I mean, Yekindar is like, it's my question mark. Yekindar is a question mark to me.
Do you know what's sad? We talked about this on Hot Take Point Made. Just based on the one and a half tournaments we've seen from Liquid so far, the funny thing is, everyone was looking at this roster like, right, let's see how it goes for a few months. Then if you can, you get a better AWPer. Then you've got the team, right? No. Right now, you kick your Yekindar out and you get an aggressive rifler. Like, Yekindar just isn't it, mate. I'm sorry. Because here's the problem, Maniac. I can reveal this. It's one of the things I knew. He's one of the people that thought Cadian wasn't doing it right and wanted to do this playbook style and do all this, and that Twist should be the IGL, blah, 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 blah. Well, you know what, mate? You've got it. You got what you wanted. And it hasn't changed your game a lick. It turns out, having you faced this close to the thing and whiffing everyone was just what you do now. And by the way, I said this a million times, but I'll say it again. That's only cool if you are Donk. You know what I mean? If you're as bad as he is and you do that, it's like the Kierby one. It's like, why not just spray normally? Why not have a lower sense? Like, you're not actually as good as this you think you are. Like, that's got to be a hindrance to your game. I'm sorry. Like, because he's just had a year and a half where he's been trashed now, bro. Like, what do you want? What do you want from... Well, a year. Let's get a year. A year will be fair.
Yeah, but I'm right there with you. Like, if I don't think changes is warranted now, but if there was, then he would be the next in line to question, like, okay, can we get somebody else in these positions? Definitely. But the rest, I am not on some kind of crazy, delirious hype train for Liquid, but my expectations were fairly low to begin with, and I think they've surpassed my relatively low expectations. So that's just for Liquid. For FaZe, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, I understand what they're trying to do. They are sort of conditioning themselves into believing that this is a new leaf turning and that we're all hyped about the game. We're all passionate. We're going to give our everything. And it's working. Like, it's working. They feel like you can see how animated they are behind the cams and all that. They said that they've changed roles. They've changed strategies and way to go about it. A Kerrigan is now calling way more spontaneous-based, less playbook-based. So they found all of these ways to kind of rekindle the passion. Like, it's like an old couple that's actually making efforts to try and surprise the other one. It's like, hey, you know what? Maybe let's go on a date. Like, you know, tonight we could do something special, you know.
Chocolate and whipped cream and that. Out. Yeah, sure.
It's just like, let's have some privileged moments. Okay. No, let's try and mix it. This is how it feels like to me. Like, they're really trying to rekindle the passion. And I think they had plenty of moments where things could have gone to shit, but they've survived up until that point. And now they're going to play Saw, and they are going to demolish them. That's very likely what's going to happen. And they're going to show up in the semifinal, full on whatever sort of hype they're at. And I am actually scared shitless for Vitality, legitimately. Because I think if Liquid had made it through, Vitality was in the grand final. No matter what, no matter who from Saw or Liquid would make it through the semifinal, Vitality would be coast to coast strong enough to handle with it. But now that it's FaZe, and now that FaZe would be in semifinal, oof, oof.
Here's the funny thing. We'll do a bit of like analysis of the bracket and narrative here. So first of all, if Liquid went through, I actually think Vitality would win this tournament, because everyone's forgetting one detail. You know this amazing streak Na'Vi's on, and you know they've won, because I'd said it, they've won like 13 of the last 16 best of threes or something mad, and obviously two of those were the TL losses, right? You think about that run, but here's the difference. People are forgetting one thing. EWC final, major final, best of three.
Best of three.
Yeah. This final's best of five. I think if Vitality went there, I think it's really hard for Na'Vi to beat you in a best of five, because they don't have the greatest map pool. They have some maps they're good on, and then they sometimes rely on like overperformance to nick another map. But even then, they're a 2-1 type team for me if you play a lot of top 10. I think Vitality, but I agree with you on the FaZe one, though. FaZe actually got almost the best bracket you could get, because you start with Saw. By the way, you can even warm up then in the tournament. FaZe has looked great so far at this tournament. Their T side looks absolutely renewed. Like, by the way, they could have beaten Vitality in the upper bracket. That could have been a 2-0. Yes. It was a really close game back and forth all over the place. They've looked excellent elsewhere. Yes, they could have lost to Team Liquid at the end. That's also another part of FaZe. They take these ballsy players. Sometimes those go against you, you look like a fool. Like you did on a nuke where you bled it away. But I also say credit to Team Liquid for winning that one in the same way as I do vice versa for the Mirage comeback. But then if you think about it, if you beat Saw, you have to believe after the last game against Vitality, we can beat these guys. This is doable. And if you do, there's another one. You would get a rematch of the major final, but in a best of five. Now, that's just spicy on its surface. Think about it. If you're Na'Vi, you want to prove it. All that shit. If you're FaZe, I want to get it back and show you that, hey, you know what? When we have to go four maps deep, let's see. Let's see what happens when we get out of the comfort pick. Let's see when you can only do that one veto and I can just do like a thing and I can maybe push up another map there at that point in time. And maybe I'm Carrigan and maybe I gamble above it. You can see what happens then. That could get all sorts. Oh. Remember, it's going to be a float again of the vertigos, isn't it? So that's already so, but obviously we're getting ahead of ourselves. On FaZe,
no, but
though,
it's fun to do that.
Yeah. On FaZe, first of all, the T side just looks way better. This is why I'm actually not surprised that Carrigan said that to you in that interview, that he just said essentially, fuck sort of being the old Carrigan where you give all the players space because they're all brilliant. And what you do instead is, obviously the style wasn't off. FaZe was getting that thing that they got at the end of CSGO with Twists, where you know when they used to lose and eventually it just looked like Carrigan ran in, but no one ran in after him. And he was disconnected. And even when he got the space, saw the, well, because he's not going to frag them, there was no one to follow up and get the trade. And you weren't applying the most fundamental T-side concept ever. Trade frag into the site, get the bomb planted. Then let Rops and the other one, Brokey, play around on that. So the problem is they were starting to get that in these last tournaments, bro. They would have the rounds again where it's like T-side start to look shit. Well, when Carrigan told you that he's just started microing people, bro, you can tell this looks fucking awesome. Like suddenly their go button is really good. Their speed, like the speed of the trade is what wins them these rounds. When they were against Vitality, by the way, I would be watching on the Observer, the CT position on like Anubis, where I could tell the Observer thinks this is going to be a 3K for the CT. And you would just see the CT kill the first person, try and dink the other, and then quickly two people just quick peek him and kill him, and suddenly they're on the site. And I was like, this is FaZe Clan. This is the guy. That's what puts fear in your heart. It's not one player. They don't have a Z who's like, gotta stay away from him. No, it's when FaZe plays at that pace and take those gambles, dude, no one likes to play at the stakes FaZe does. That's what makes them, that's why, like you, I want to see them in the semi-final. I want to see them where when they do a play like that, that you're not supposed to win, and they win it against Vitality, you think that Lanxess and Cam Carrigan's doing this isn't going to be like fucking Gladiator or something, mate. It's going to be insane. So, yeah, that's obviously a match I'm dying to watch. I think that I already think the upper bracket match was the match of the tournament. I know now people are going to say Liquid because of how exciting, but I think for high quality CS, the FaZe Vitality series was very good in my opinion.
And it would be again in semifinal. It would be crazy. I'm not going to just give all the praises to the playstyle, because when Rops was struggling, I put some scrutiny.
Oh, by the way, he had some masterclasses here.
But now he's had some serious references maps. And I circle back to this whole like sort of philosophy of game that has slightly changed, because I do think it frees him up a little bit more. There's more movement on the map. You force more rotations from the CT side, so you allow him to sort of shine through. How many times in the Vitality game on Inferno, how many times did he just absolutely dismantle the household, the Abshold, just on his own, just white swing to Zywoo, dead. Double trade from Boiler, dead. Like, he was taking all of these risks and all these initiatives that we hadn't seen from him in a while, so I think he's got a huge uptick. I think Rain on the entry because for a while he'd been very deficient. Now he's back again. He's taking that space. He's sort of like embracing, yep. Holy shit, like this is Cologne. So you have all of these little upticks here and there, coupled with the play style, coupled with the mentality, and you end up with like this sort of monster that is lurking in the water. And against Vitality, I'm not going to say that Vitality have no chance. I think that would be...
Oh, Vitality is very good, man.
That would be hypercritical. But I do think that Vitality will need to have great starts to the game. I think they will need to ride momentum. Like, they will need pistol conversion, a bit of relaxation, a bit of money so they can take risks. Because if it becomes a boxing fight, the way the third map of the major semifinal was, like Inferno, back and forth, you eco me, I eco you, I pressure you, I think FaZe is going to be stronger, like mentally. I just think FaZe is not going to budge. So Vitality would definitely need to have great starts, play with momentum, let FlameZ go a little crazy, because right now they have this whole like sort of triumvirate of doom of Sphinx, Zywoo, and FlameZ, who actually have all great stats, and that's something they haven't had for a while. But they're going to need that. And we play the game of prediction. So I have an internal little gamble that I've had with the psychologist of Na'Vi. And I said, if Vitality go to Na'Vi in the grand final, Na'Vi's not going to beat Vitality.
No, I don't think so.
Vitality is winning in the grand final. If we have a Vitality Na'Vi, which is as far from certain as it could be. But I have another spicy take. A team that could actually beat FaZe in best of five, I think G2 could.
Oh, if they make the final, right.
Yeah. I think G2 could beat FaZe in the best of five, which is why I think this bracket is so fucking enticing. It's like you play the game of what if this team is in the grand final and that's a best of five. Who would they face? Who could they beat or not? And we have this like sort of game of chicken of who could beat whom.
Yes.
That's going to be so absolutely good. But yeah, basically that's it for FaZe.
By the way, on the FaZe thing, the last thing I'll also say is this. I think this is also why Carrigan is... By the way, this is an example. This is actually something that Michael Jordan's coach, Phil Jackson, used to do. He would actually use the press as a way to talk to his players because he knows they're going to read the newspaper and see what he said, right? So what he does is he has the thing where maybe you didn't listen or he couldn't get through to you in the locker room, but he says it in public. So now you have to sort of like... Some people are going to ask you about it. You're going to have to address it. You're going to have to think, well, what do you think of that? And also, are you going to disagree with the coach in public? Like, why is he said this about me? Is he trying to show me up? Is he challenging me? I think Carrigan wasn't just saying that for our benefit. Like, he'll change the roles and the style, and I'm microwing, and you know, and I'm not, you know, people, I'm giving up having them control. They had their chance, and now I'm going to do it all. I also think he's trying to do this. One, he's taking all the pressure on himself. If they fail now, it's his call. He fucked it up. He's the one who tells them. He micros them, so how can it be their fault? Now Frozen can't be the beta because Carrigan's microing. Now Rops has to be making the pressure look because Carrigan's telling him when to come. This is genius, by the way. That immediately takes a lot of pressure off those players. And then secondly, I also think because he's trying to make it feel like, look, it's like VP when they used to change the roles in the IGL. We're obviously the same team, but we're not. We're a new look phase. TM, you know, better, the classic flavor, but new and improved. And the reason why you needed to say that is this, Maniac. The other thing that was really scary is, you know, everyone loves when Carrigan plays God with the map pool. He couldn't have done that if he'd have gone by win rates. His map pool had collapsed in its own arse. Yeah. Like, things like fucking Inferno Mirage, they were in trouble, bro. They were in trouble. So what he's done instead is, I notice he's acting like he doesn't look at that page on here. HLTV. He's just picking and playing whatever he feels like playing. He's forgetting that they lost six in the last seven on that map, or they got banged out on this other tour. He's actually acting like this is a new team. It's a fresh roster. It's like when I tell people when I do the analysis for G2, because it says last 3 months, I always tell them, these numbers aren't actually G2's map pool, because they didn't have these players at the beginning of the 3 months, did they? So really, we're going to discount that. We're going to think of games we've seen them play on it. We're going to go, actually, you know what? Maybe they're better than a 50% win rate on this one. I feel like Carrigan's done that. And secondly, along those lines, as a result, it sort of worked so far, touch wood. The map pool is back. Suddenly they can play the Mirage, the fucking, the Inferno, the Nuke in a way that they couldn't. These last few months, they would lose on those ones, especially against the Vitalities of the world. Bro, they were in position to beat Vitality on Dust 2. Vitality is one of the teams that's, you don't want to play them on that map. You know they love that map. It's clearly one that they're putting a lot of their emphasis on. So yeah, I think actually that's another part of FaZe that feels revivified, at least so far. Maybe it doesn't last, who knows, but for now, the reason I also think it sort of works for FaZe is, it's like we're all saying as well, when you have that reputation that you're the ones that do the players under pressure and you're going to make them crumble, That gets in people's heads, bro. You don't even have to always do it all. If you can just sort of get close to that, they'll do the rest in their mind. It's why it's why Rupp's falling off was so disturbing, because I eventually saw people no longer even look behind if he was coming. He's not coming. He hasn't got the timing. Let's just go in. We don't. Whereas, you know, back in the day on an Inferno, my God, trying to attack that fucking lane side. Oh, bro, he can be behind you any moment. And if he's behind you, he might just kill three of you. He might work the, he might even let you go in the site, kill the planter and move back. And now he's got the 1vx, you know what I mean? Like, that went away. Whereas now, that's gradually coming back. And as you say, almost every player's percolating. They're all getting online again. Even though, this is why every podcast that's like, maybe we should kick Carrigan. Carrigan is like a 0.79 at this tournament. But you know what? If he's going to call like that, maybe it can work, bro. Part of my brain says anyone below 0.8, that should already be the cutoff. Like, that's all right. But I tell you what, no one can call like this. No guy has the fucking the stones to be able to go like, right, here's what we're going to do out next. Then if we want to transition to Vitality, there's an obvious angle that we've discussed many times. I even just wrote a whole Substack piece about it. It currently is still for free for the next week and a half. It was called ZWU. Born to AWP. I didn't even say he should AWP. He must. He's born to AWP, bro. He has a feel for that gun that I actually think is the best ever. As in, Simple uses that gun when it was very powerful, because Simple's just a monster who tries to kill you. Device used that gun, actually begrudgingly, because tactically he knew it could be the best way to control a game, to get his picks, to find things out, to hold a line of sight. People like Kenny S, he just does that because he's the fastest player in the world. Of course he used the one-click, one-gun. I think ZWU actually has the most fluid, smooth AWP game ever in Counter-Strike. Ever. Like, every scenario, he never feels uncomfortable. You can't rush him. You know when he rushed the AWPers, he has to whiff the no-scope. He'll hit the no-scope and then he'll re-peek you. Even when he re-peeks, he doesn't do the abusive, simple monocy re-peek. Like, I'm just going to ego flex. Mm. He does the re-peek like a half a second later, so you think he's not going to re-peek, and then he re-peeks. Like, oh, fuck, he got me again. Then he kills you with the off angle. He is so smooth and intuitive with that gun. And this series shows it, bro, because he didn't have a great series against FaZe. But, bro, every time he picked up the AWP, good things happened. This is a guy where, this is actually a hot take that Maui had. Maui's hot take was, ZWU bills himself as unselfish, but he's actually very selfish, and here's why. It's counterintuitive. Because since he plays in a team with all these star riflers, if he doesn't AWP, he takes the AWP away from the team. Guess what? We don't need, even though technically you're better than Flames, we don't need you because we got Flames. Let him do that rifle shit, bro. You get on that AWP. Because I tell you what, if I'm Apex, here's what I'd say to ZWU. Mate, I'm just going to force you the AWP. Listen, you don't have to do T-side. Every CT round, we have an AWP. I'm even buying you and drawing. I'm even at the point now, bro, where if you're losing in a game, I would do what your teams did. I would fucking glass cannon this guy an AWP on certain maps. If it's the right map, I might even just give you it with on the pistols. You can win us the round. You can get the 3 kills and save. Like, you're that level, mate. You can be the difference maker.
Okay, so you hit a couple of interesting points. The first one is the whole like CT versus T conversation. I think it is really quintessential when it comes to ZWU and like forcing him on the AWP or not. I do think that whenever Vitality is in slight trouble, his training ability on the rifle is something that they unfortunately need. Because the problem is when he picks up the AWP on the T side and they're struggling, it's either he will find them a pick, so he will manufacture a pick and opening into a round, or he's barely going to be in a position to do anything. I feel like the rifle on the T side allows him more fluidity and mobility, and he can follow the pack. And his trade game is like is unmatched.
By the way, he's a very good rifle. I'm talking about the extreme margins here, of course. So
people have to understand that at the very core, he started as a rifle. He played the AWP because people wanted him to, because he was obviously so good at everything, and then he was put on the best gun in the game because this is where you're going to have the most impact. Originally, if you go back 6-7 years ago, he was not an AWP pure breed. Like, he was a rifle that could AWP. But now, obviously, things are different. We are at the very top level. So T-side, I'm okay with him rifling a little more to help Vitality get into, like, to dig Vitality out of the trenches. The moments where the rounds are hard to win, and your opponents have full money, and they have all the util, and you're getting steamrolled and gambling against you. I feel like the AK will help him a bit, like, ride that wave back. As soon as they regain control and you have financial dominion, go back to the AWP. You're going to have peaks. The utility game is going to be in your favor. They will dry out before you. Play with your fine opening kills. But on the CT side, I think that's where you're right. And this is where, scoreboard or not, his precision and his hit ratio with the AWP is going to determine whether Vitality has a good CT side or not. there are moments. That's it. And you can go back to all of the series that he's had that we would deem disappointing, or we'd say he goes to the map, and you will find moments where he misses a shot with an AWP, where he was supposed to give the advantage to Vitality. He misses a shot. Either he gets jigger peaked and he misses, or he gets completely full flashed or anything. That is going to happen. So if Saiwoo, I don't really care about, of course, I want him to have high ratings. I want him to go for MVPs and all that. Of course, I have a vested interest. But if I feel like when the moment comes on the CD side, he will pick up the AWP and he will find the opening kill, I think that's already like a huge winning condition for Vitality. And he's getting there now. He's getting there again. It's just, unfortunately for him, in the series that have been tough, I feel like playing with the AWP is so unforgiving. You know,
I think he doesn't do it. I think he doesn't want that pressure always, bro. I don't think he wants to be the guy who didn't win the game, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I cannot say if that's the case or not. I just know that the AWP on the CT side, when he's uncomfortable and the team is uncomfortable, it's like you clip his wings. Like, his movements are then reduced and he has to play certain positions. And to me, he has never, ever been capable of organizing the game around him the way Monesi would do.
Oh,
I say, listen, now I have an open. This is what's going to happen now. You guys follow me. I'm going to do this. It's going to be all right. Like, he's more, when Vitality is struggling and he's on the op, you almost feel like discomfort when you watch him play at times. So this is the Vitality that would scare me. But if he's actually like confident and he's hitting shot, like the Dust2 game versus Mouse, like this round where they're just rushing top mid and they're everywhere and he's just like scanning from T-spawn and he's kidding as he crosses the door, kidding when he pushes from long, re-kidding him. Oh, and he hits all of these shots. If Zaiwoo hits with the AWP, you are going to lose the game. For me, that's as far as it goes. If he's online with his AWP, you're going to lose the game because he has currently the best game sense there is in the game. Nobody reads the game. Nobody feels the game the way he does. There are people who are quicker. Monesi is more precise. He's got better flicks. But I don't think there's anybody who reads and feels the game the way he does. So when you couple that with the fact that you can hit all the shots, that's why you say he looks like the most fluid ever. Because actually, he's never actually caught off guard. It's just like, okay, I'm just reading the script of the Matrix. This is the next step. This is the most likely outcome of this situation. So I'm just going to hold this angle. Oh, I got my kill. Yeah, probably in 3 seconds, I'm going to get peeked on the left side. Oh, second kill. And I go back away. Because he's very rarely just caught off guard in situations where he made the wrong call. He made the wrong assumption. That just happens very rarely. Not never, very rarely. So when you couple that with actually hitting the shots and being online in terms of hit ratio, yeah, of course. Holy hell. I'm in. I'm game.
One of the sections in my Substack piece is called Reading the Code of the Matrix. And it's about the fact that he has basically the best positioning ever, too, with AWP. Because that's the other thing. Kenny S and Simple really do just peek into the same angle over and over again because they're like, I'm God and no one can stop me. I can just change reality like Thanos. Like, reality can be whatever I want when I peek. They are like that. That's just what they do. They brute force. They just smash you in the head with a sledgehammer. Whereas I think to me, like, he's surgical with his positioning. The dance that he does to bait in T's when he's on CT side is fucking phenomenal. Like, I can guarantee that's why teams... There's another thing as well. Here's another reason why CT side he needs to be on the AWP. Because, bro, when you're coming towards his site and you get aced tripled like that, you don't even get the entry. He kills your AWPer. You actually literally do start thinking, is there a way I can avoid this? When he's on the rifle, can I trade him? That's the question. Mm-hmm. You know, he might still get the 3K, but there's a different aura when you know Simple as he were around that corner with that AWP. There's a different, like, oh, shit. You don't, not only do you not want to be the first, you don't even want to be the fucking trade guy coming in. You get banged out too by the no-scope. That fucking sucks. I can tell you, a lot of people won't realise. In the same way as if you play an FPL game or a fucking Face It Pog or something, and you play people slightly better than you, it get really boring playing T-side because you just feel like you're getting ground up, doesn't it? Now imagine you're a pro and it's your job to run into that site. It fucking sucks. And then also, along these lines, here's the difference, right? If we could like phone a friend and we call Zaiwoo now and we tell him, Zaiwoo, won't tell anyone, no one will hear this. Like, you know, I'll release this podcast after the event. If he agrees to AWP every time CT side, I will commit right now that Vitality wins IEM Cologne.
Wow, okay.
Mate, the rifle core's right where you want it to be.
So no, I get it.
Mezzi's got his game together. Apex This is exactly why Apex, you notice I very rarely ever say cut Apex when Vitality's bad, because I don't even think he's that sort of mastermind IGL. I think he is actually trying to do what people think Carrigan does, which is you just have a bunch of players, you give them a little bit of freedom, and every now and then you draw them together, or when they're out of an idea, you give them a little idea. For me, he's supposed to be loosely guiding these guys who are all in their own way talented, and he's just trying to, he's spinning plates, Maniac. He's not, it isn't some grand master plan. He's just keeping this plate going in this one. Oh, that one's okay. See, he was alright for now. And that's another reason why I want Ewopen as well. Because, mate, on CT side, like we're talking about, now Apex doesn't need to call a rotation. He will figure out himself to rotate. If he can stay, he'll kill three people himself. And also, you look at another factor as well is this. A classic thing a top team does when they can't change a player. I've actually told this before, but I can confirm it now, Maniac. Literally, I was told during this last season, not before he joined Liquid, because things were going so bad in Liquid, Twists Vitality wanted Twists to join. And that was something that could have happened in last season some point. So as a result, that tells you already they knew something was off about their game. They know they're not winning trophies. Remember, the crazy thing about fucking Vitality guys is beyond when Zebra was ill at the major, most of the times we're fucking torturing these guys under a microscope when they come second or fucking fourth. Like, but it's because we know they could win these tournaments, and they do too, or they know they should, or they know like something's missing, but if they came together like it can in these games, they know it's possible. And I'll bet in scrims, I'll bet they've had months where they just tore everyone up in scrims and they bodied them. So one of the things they did is when you can't change players and you can't change roles, because they've got very defined roles in this team, the one thing you can change, Maniac, and every top team will do this when they lose, is you just start desperately changing the map pool. And it's why I laughed so fucking hard when they played Mouse, because my bet, are you ready, Maniac, in that game went Vitality wins 2-0, and everyone on my stream and in my Discord was going, no, but Thorin, Mouse is playing on Vertigo, and you have to understand, like, Vitality's barely played it in the last few months, and they had one win and one loss, and one was against M80. And I went, bro, your memory must be so short. They chose to go away from Vertigo. You go back early in this lineup to the spring and back, they were monsters on Vertigo. And one of the reasons why is obvious. It's not a super tactical map. It's not one where you have a crazy... It's actually a map, by the way, about having the grit to take a duel where you're going to die. It's about overwhelming someone when you rush on the site. They have the fucking rifles to do that, boys. When they rush onto a site together, this team is fucking terrifying on that map. And you saw it in these games. Like, they took it to people on this map. And again, this is one of these ones where you're scared to die first time on the site there, because you know, fuck, they're taking the site. And now try peeking back into three Vitality riflers, by the way. Like, that's no fucking fun right there. So what I've seen is this. I've seen them going back to the map pool that was before when they were the dominant team. Vertigo looks good. The Mirage is looking fucking good again. Another map where you can play the up-tempo with your rifles
Dust
on.
Dust 2 is good, yeah.
Dust 2's there, bro. All of a sudden, we're in a world. Remember, they're one of the only teams might have benefited from Overpass getting the fuck out the pool.
Oh, absolutely.
Remember the Anubis? They used to be fucking dangerous on Anubis, didn't they? Yeah, so I actually think there's another thing you've seen. They found their map pool now. And this map pool is really nice for them, in my opinion. Like, there aren't that many maps I'm scared for with them. I think you look at them as a team, and there's another thing. That's why I want to see that BO5 final if they get there. Bro, essentially, it's FaZe. If FaZe gets them in the semis, they don't win this tournament. I think everyone on the other side of the bracket, they're going to get them. Like, as much as people want to do, we could do Na'Vi in a minute. Listen, Na'Vi's never looked better. If you actually had to say, like, they are top two, for real, in every sense. They're even way better than at the major. The funniest thing is, the reason why I don't go on about the fluke anymore is because obviously people are just going to do that thing where they pretend like, winning now proves it wasn't a fluke. They're way better now. If they play like this at the major, do you think I'd call it a fluke? They had two players 0.8 rating when they won the major. They lost more rounds than they won. If they played like this, I'd be calling them a team that could have an era. They look fucking fantastic. The floor of the team is impossible, by the way.
No,
they probably have the highest floor in the world. And as Maui says, Alexi B has the best T-side in the world. So we'll get to Na'Vi in a minute. But I actually do think that G2... Mate, they've got the firepower. I don't think they've got the T side. Their map pool scares me a little bit. I sometimes think they win off individual play. I think if Vitality makes the final, they beat anyone. They win this tournament. That's why I say it. That's why for me, it's the FaZe one. That's the touchable series.
It's not, I don't think it's a tremendously crazy take, because that would also mean that they were able to overcome FaZe in a semifinal of IEM Cologne, which is definitely like one of the hardest settings you could possibly Counter-Strike in. And if like mental frailty was or is a topic of conversation for Vitality, then the signs that we've seen so far are pretty positive. Like, you have the 10 series versus FaZe, but they eke out a victory on map number 3. It all comes down to a Flames 1v1 where he actually prevails. They don't just liquefy. Then you have the comeback against Mouse and the overtime on map number 2. They don't let that go as well. They were in a winning, commanding position on the T side of Vertigo. They fumbled the bag. They couldn't close it immediately, but they stayed in it. The overtime was much cleaner. They move on to 0. Like, all of these signals are really good. And this is what I was worried about for Vitality. It's like, where's your resilience at? Like, are you ready to get dirty? Are you ready to get muddy in these fights? So far, so good. Vitality have never given me a reason to think that the stage scares them or makes them play worse. I don't think the stage specifically makes them play worse. So if they actually do prevail against FaZe and they go in a best of 5, then I cannot really tell you why the team that would scare me the most in that best of 5 would actually be G2. Because I feel like the reason why G2 could be dangerous...
Do you want to talk about G2? Let's transition, go.
We can move on to G2. I think the reason why G2 could be dangerous is that it's like you're manipulating like a nuclear sort of chemical element. And the reason why they're dangerous, for me, has not really much to do with like a playbook on a map or like a particular way to think about the game. The reason why they're dangerous right now is that at any given moment, they can have the most firepower anyone has in Cologne currently. With Nico playing the way he's been playing the last month, with Mouts and his uptick compared to Nexa, with Monacy, obviously maybe slightly below what we're used to, but also there's a finite amount of frags that you can have in Counter-Strike. So logically, guys, statistically, mathematically, if Nico is having more kills and if Mouts is having more kills and there's a finite amount of kills, then Monacy is going to have less kills. Like, there aren't infinite frags to be found. But if you tell me that Nico's level in the last month is going to keep up, which, by the way, he's on track for MVP currently. He's above Monacy. Monacy is here. Mouse is a huge uptick on Nexa. And then Hunter is actually having games the way he had against Spirit. He's having moments the way he's fragging there. Like, this squad, like, who in terms of firepower can hold the candle to that? To the level that we've seen them just step on Spirit, step on Astralis. That is something that scares the absolute shit out of me. And I think Snax, even if they're far from having like the perfect playbook with all of like the intricate executes and that the things that take time to organize and all, just by playing very basic, fundamental, like map control Counter-Strike into a couple of like quick witty call, I'll A exec on Ancient a couple times, 2 times in a row, just to put the defense in a little bit of a whirlwind. Just with simple fundamental Counter-Strike and the firepower that they have displayed, I have a feeling that this can apply to any map. And that if they were to catch on fire, then I don't really know who can stop them. The only argument would be Na'Vi's protocols and Na'Vi's like incredibly clean Counter-Strike could maybe contain the goddamn nuclear power that G2 currently has. Like, that's what I fear. That's why I fear. If G2 makes it past Na'Vi, they go to a best of 5, I feel like the rules of like veto and what team is the best on what map, I almost feel like that power supersedes that conversation. And that's one of the reasons why a G2 Vitality Grand Final BO5 would scare me as a Vitality fan.
Those are two reasons why I like the bracket, though. Because if you ask me, what team can count that firepower? Vitality. There you go. That's the one team in the world that is at this level. Because look, VP on paper should have the firepower, but we all know they don't fucking show up. So Vitality, if their 3 riflers go off, they can do it. They can hit as hard as anyone in this game. And you've seen it in some of the maps. It's not always consistent, but you can see it. They can do that too. And the other factor as well for me is this. If they don't get to the final, that would be because they lose to Na'Vi most likely. Like, I think they're going to win the opening match. I think they're going to beat Mouse. I think Mouse, look, it's not even that, it's just the stage thing. I also think right now, with how hard G2 hits, it's going to be really hard for Mouse to call around that. Like, they used to be in the firepower advantage team. They used to be in the one that has all the players going off. And actually, they've gotten to this point in the tournament. They kind of limped through a little bit, actually. They've had times when they looked a bit shaky, where they've kind of just eased into the tournament. This isn't the Mouse that of the other tournaments where they ace the group stage. And then it's like, oh, but will the stage be what defeats them, not the team, all that. No, actually, they haven't even looked that sick in the tournament in itself. People like Yimpat and Exertion aren't the ones who are fragging out for MVP. Like, they're having kind of normal tournaments for them. So here's the thing. If G2 gets to the semis, this is where the bracket and the format is. Because if they play Na'Vi and they bring that firepower, well, not only have I already seen that EWC final, but that was a BO3. the semis is a BO3. If it's only essentially you're saying to Alexi, win two maps out of three, first of all, that's what he does every day. And secondly, against G2, that just means a couple of extra T rounds that he outcalls them, outpositions them, gets them a round win here and there. On CT side, you're probably going to get overwhelmed generally. You're going to get a lot of T rounds fought against you in terms of fragging from G2, but you have people like Bit, GL, you are going to win some weird rounds on CT2. You're going to have someone where someone does a cool rotation and catches someone off. You're going to have GL win two clutches in a map or something for you. So it's going to happen. And then Wonderful's just very consistent. Then on the G2 side, my problem is this. They almost certainly have to be in a honeymoon phase, Maniac. Like, if they're not, then they're the greatest firepower team to ever play Counter-Strike.
Yeah, pretty much.
So for now, just like I told people when Spirit won Katowice, it's like, look, what I do with this is I go, right, that's like not even the upper floor. That's like a fucking, like, someone landed with a helicopter, like a fucking, a bungalow on top of the penthouse, and they went up there, but you're only allowed up there twice a year, you know what I mean, for special occasions. The rest of the time, look, your penthouse is going to be dope. Come down to that. And as you saw, even though we can get to that later if you want, aside from these couple of tournaments now, the penthouse of fucking Spirit's pretty good. Like, if you don't know, this year they've lost, with this lineup, they've lost seven times ever. And aside from that one against Mongols, it was all elite teams. It was G2, Vitality, Mouse, that FaZe, all the best teams in the world. So the floor for Spirit was really good. It's a similar thing here, right? My problem is, I think you can look at this and you can see, right, if I have to look in my crystal ball, right, Hunter, he can't maintain that. That's just absurd. That wasn't even Hunter last year in CSGO when he was getting his fucking nominations, was it, at this level? Like, that's going to go down a little bit. Nico, I could believe, is going to stay up. By the way, I said it today. It's my hot take. I think Nico's the best player in the world right now. I think everyone's got lost because they're doing the race for number one. Forget those three. Those three can all sit back and fucking, including Monacy, and watch what Nico's doing right now. Nico, this last month, it's over 26 maps, Maniac, is tearing everyone up. He is fucking unbelievable. Like, you know what? He was right in that interview. Now I get why he didn't take the IGL spot. It turned out it would have been a waste of his fucking time. Maybe they don't even need an IGL, and he's just even better without doing it. So why take any brain processing power away from this guy? He's actually also, if you notice, he isn't playing that like slower style that Nico did for. He plays a bit more up-tempo. It's like he's remembered, if I'm an aggressive rifler, CS2's better for us. If we just go in, I have the aim, I'm Nico, of course I'm going to headshot them immediately. Of course I'm going to fucking out-duel this guy with a... And by the way, people pointed out, Donk, it ain't just Donk boys, he outduels everyone right now. He outduels every rifler in the game, and he's feeling it too. Then on the Monacy one, the joke is Monacy isn't the best player right now, but tell you what, he's sort of doing the Shiro thing. He's pretty fucking good if he's gonna be your second in command, as it were. Like, he's pretty good, isn't he? Like, he's still pretty consistent. He'll still put up those kills. You still give him an AWP. You still don't want to peek into his spot when he's on CT. The Malbs one, I also think, comes down a little bit. I think some of this is also like people. I think he's sort of like initially shocked people. I think he's kind of got a little aura because he's hitting these crazy headshots on people. As a team, by the way, they're steamrolling people when they win rounds. So I think at the moment, everything's flowing. I don't think actually like the calling's that great. I know it's none of you guys ever pull out a great strat they did, or look at the way they held this smoke off here and they had the molly ready. They're not doing any of that shit. They run in and shoot everyone in the head. So the problem I have is this. I actually do think it reminds me, only in terms of how overwhelming it is, of when they made the initial runs with Huxley. Because every time they would win, they would blast people with firepower. Because that was when Hunter was a top player. That was when Nico was really good. He was going to be the best rifle of the year. And that was when Monacy was becoming a sick rifle. He wasn't quite at CS2 levels yet, but he was that far away. And then you had JKS as your fourth player, and he would just win clutches and CT anchor. Like, that was why that team, again, same thing you said was, if this hits all four players, you can't stop them. I mean, we saw there, every great T-side tried it, Maniac. Heroic tried it into them. Vitality tried it into them. FaZe tried it. No one could really get through because they could put up a brick wall. And then on T-side, you just shoot enough people to win your six rounds. You win your five rounds if you're in MR12. Obviously, we were in MR15 back then. So it has that vibe. So I also feel like, this is why if you're actually G2, you want to win this fucking tournament. You better capitalize. I don't know that you're going to be roasting like this for the next events. Especially because I'm almost certain if you look at their map pool... even with this firepower, their map pool looks a little bit dodgy, mate. There's times when I see Anna go, like, am I really sure? Look, I think they're going to win this series, but am I sure they win their map here? Am I sure they can actually beat the opponent on here? I don't know. There's certain maps I get a bit scared on. Obviously, if they're on an ancient or something, yeah, they tear everyone up. There's some other ones there where I don't know whether they're always on an inferno, mate. Did they make the right call? On Mirage, I've seen them do the fucking twists. I've seen them just sit there on T-side and wait for people to do stuff, and it doesn't happen. And they're like, well, shit, I thought we were going to hit a duel and shoot the guy in the head. So there's times where if the fragging comes down a little bit, I worry that's a little bit about the pace. I worry a bit about the calls. I wonder what's going to happen in the mid-round. But right now, I agree with you. If they can hit like this, they're the ultimate knockout team. Like, they have the craziest puncher's chance you ever see.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I mean, the last point, I think you nailed it, is that as soon as the fragging power will come down just a little bit, then you will be exposed and like the little lack of intricacies and the real details of Counter-Strike, where a team like Na'Vi can make you look bad. Like, Na'Vi will expose you because they themselves have like incredible setups, like all the counter-flashes, all the utility, they have that. So if the fragging comes down, then G2 could be in trouble. But the problem, or not the problem, but the reassurance that I have is that Hunter is really the only player that I can say with certain confidence will return to the mean. Because I feel like Malz was already popping off before he joined G2. Hell, the reason he even got G2's attention was because he smacked the shit out of them in Pro League. And he literally almost solo carried best of threes against G2. So the way he's playing now on the T side it's something that I can see be replicated over and over again. My question for Malz is if he's going to figure out some of these anchor roles on the CT side and where he needs to display a bit more patience and need to be a bit more cerebral in some situations. It's not just about, I'm going to white swing and take all my duels. All of the very good anchors of the game have various approaches to bomb size. They can change their positions. They understand the game. That's a different skill set. And it's not the one that really impresses you when you think about Mavs. When you think about Mavs, you almost think of him as an entry, like a wild, wild entry who is going to just lead the charge, W all the way, double entry, huge headshot percentage, super low time to kill. What he's doing on the T side right now, I have no reason to think that won't happen just outside of the big stage factor, which is something that we still have to consider. We have never seen Mavs on the stage of IEM Cologne. In fact, we have never seen Malbs on any stage of any magnitude or any significance. He seemed to have a really cool like swagger to him.
Yeah, by the way, for people who don't know, even though EWC had massive prize pool, it wasn't like a giant event though. You can even see the crowd was a bit sedated, wasn't it? Yeah.
It was a bit of a smaller stage, a bit more intimate atmosphere, so to speak. So we are yet to see like thousands and thousands of people up in front of Malbs and see how he reacts. I know he's got a cool attitude, and you would like to think that this bravado is kind of showcasing like a good self-insurance. But the truth is, until he's done it, then there's a warranted question, like it's warranted doubt about how he's going to behave. But past that point, the way he plays Counter-Strike on the T-side, I have no reason to think that's going to stop. And I don't think Snax or G2 is going to shackle him in any case. I think they're going to let him like have these moments where he gets to entry size, he gets to take duels. So that pretty much a guarantee. I'm right there with you on Nico. When you said he's the best player in the world right now, took me aback, considered for half a second. Okay, fair enough. There's a conversation to be had. He's got the numbers. Last month, absolutely, completely bonkers with the rifle as well. He's transformed. Like, I've had people come at me on Twitter because I tweeted, I missed this Nico. And people came at me and said, oh, why you make it sound like he was so bad in the past? I'm like, no, you don't realize. You don't realize where the where the standard is. Like, no one has ever said Nico is bad. What we said in Q1 and Q2 is, well, this isn't the Nico we knew. This is just a very good player. But he used to be... He used to be the standard for rifle. Like, he used to be the conversation of greatest rifle there is in the game. And, like, nobody could touch him in that area. And now I feel like we've returned to that space. Like, we've returned to that mode where he's so instant. He's so calculated in what he's doing. He's got the right timings. He's got the insurance. He's got the good crosshair placement. If you're the first one walking into his crosshair, you're basically dead. So don't even try. Like, you're not going to... It's unlikely you're going to peek him and win. If he's holding you, he's got the right crosshair placement, you are dead. So fair enough. I think there's a conversation to be had. Which leaves Malbs, Monesy, and Nico as players that I actually rely on. That's pretty big. That's pretty big for me to be able to say that about three players. That if Hunter comes alive, then yeah, I mean, GG. But that I think is a fair question. For Hunter to maintain that level is a fair question.
Right, one thing I actually think we should do is we'll finish on Na'Vi. We'll do the Na'Vi talk and then we'll wrap it at that. So on the Na'Vi thing, it's why I said earlier, what I hinted at earlier, I'll probably do like a video or a piece about this. What I'm going to do is this. I'm either going to contrast the old Na'Vi. I'm going to pick a cutoff point. Maybe it'll be like the last tournament. Maybe it was Blast at the end of the season. I'm going to pick a cutoff point. And then I'm going to do, there's Na'Vi A, the one that was with Wonderful from like Blast 4 last year up to, you know, whatever it was, fucking Dallas, up to there. That Na'Vi is actually a very consistent team. They're just not close to the elite teams. They're like the fifth or sixth best team. If you look at them, it's really hard work. They can only win in three maps. Even when they win, it's going to be 13-11, 13-10 overtime. They're going to need like a nice, wonderful half. They're going to need two or three GL clutches. They're going to need Bit to do one kill here or there. Imma, don't die too much. Alexi, call the fuck out the game. And even then, you're going to have to get the series to be like Mirage, Nuke, Inferno. You're going to have to win two out of the three. On Inferno, it's going to be a little bit touch and go, but maybe you can get your... That's what it took to win before. That's why I think them winning a fluke, the major was a fluke and always will be. But if you go to Na'Vi B, we go from the finals of Blast, where they made the finals and lost to Spirit, who was really good at the time, to now, that team is a way better team. Like, if that team had existed, if that's when they'd made the lineup, I would say this isn't going to be the best team ever, but it's going to be one of the most consistent teams ever. This looks fucking phenomenal. Not only is Alexi the best IGL, he's got the best T side. And then here's the problem, though. There are a couple of factors, which is right now, both GL and Bit, they just don't stop, bro. At the moment, they're having tournament after tournament after tournament. They're just, somehow their level's so... A bit especially is the one that really impresses me. Because GL's, I always feel like, is a little bit sort of ethereal. It's in the flow of the game, and he gets a clutch here, and he has one halfway. Suddenly, his aim just looks twice as good. Bits is like, he does it with his brain, mate. This is a guy who's picking you apart. And when he's on his game as well, like, he's another one of those players where I feel like when his aim's going, I feel like people are scared to peek into his positions.
Yeah, of course.
And people know that when he backstabs you, it's the instant kill in the head. He never whiffs and misses, you know, or a timing too late. So when he has that down, he's really dangerous. So first of all, the problem there is if that ever drops off, it's going to be harder. But it's actually, there's a bigger issue here, which is this. This is one thing that's happened so many times, Maniac. You remember last year, we had two times this happened. When we went from the end of 2022 to 2023 was when G2 came on top. They won Blast and they won Katowice. And you remember during that streak at Katowice, they had that map win record and streak of wins, right? And when they had this streak of wins and there were certain maps, they were just stack, win on all the time. The problem people always have is this. You know, people start to like find out, look up the record. What is it? Is it like 17 wins in a row on the map? They're already at like 9. Now they're at 10. And people start going, what if they get to 17? And I always tell people, mate, hold your horses. There's a reason the record's 17. And do you even know, to a fan, you might go, if you won 10, you can win more. No. Do you know how hard it is to win 12 maps in a row? Like that, no. You can never have a bad day. You can never have a bad half. You can never lose both pistols and have the guy win the first clutch on the gun round. That can't happen. So already, that's one thing that when it, that's, here's the difference. That's not a causative thing that makes you win because you're unbeatable on that map. Nobody is unbeatable on a map. That's actually a symptom that you're team's playing at its highest level. So here's what will happen. That will stop eventually, and then you'll know that they're back down. They're not as good anymore. So right now, it's not even that Na'Vi has the god map pool. They always win Mirage, right? Bro, do you know how OP it is to always win a map every single time you play a best of three? And right now, how many teams ban Mirage? There's not that many.
Yeah,
there's not that many. So the problem is you have to play it. And at the moment, they win it every time, Maniac. Now, look, they obviously win it for key reasons. They're doing interesting things on the map, suiting their players. That's all great. Tell you what, if they have any series where they lose Mirage, they're in trouble immediately. They can lose. Doesn't mean they will lose, but they won't be this force. So right now, when they win Mirage, they look unbeatable because then they've got two out of the three. You get one more map. Essentially, if you're Alexi, you call a good game on Nuke, a couple of CT holds, maybe you get over the line. Oh, Inferno's a bit harder, but you know what? Okay, Bit had a great performance. This happened here. Maybe get the AWP involved on CT. You can get it done. But essentially, I think the floor for Na'Vi is great. But I want to say, for example, this is why the Vitality series would be great. Bro, I want to see Vitality against Na'Vi or Mirage. Show me that game. That's the match I want to see. Because that's the game where that could end the streak, mate. That's the team that can get you. That's the team that can match the players you've got. I think you can match them in every area. Think about who the best three players on Na'Vi are. Wonderful, Bit, GL. Bro, you can have those three, right? Give me Ziwu, Flames, Spinks. Mate, I like my odds. You know what I mean? Hey, we can have a game. We can test it out in the arena, but I'll take those. You have those three. I'll have those three. You know.
I'm ready.
That's why I give a lot of the credit to Alexi B. I do think Alexi B is like, he's still like, to, in a way, he's the biggest force in this team for me.
Okay. I was trying to like do the mental math. I rate Alexi B higher than Apex as a leader.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can say that relatively safely, and that's not even a diss at Apex at all. I just rate Alexi B higher. And not only do I rate Alexi B higher in the decision making, I also do think that Na'Vi right now have the most optimized executes and protocols to take map control. Like, I think it is so rare to see them miss a way to take a part of the map, miss a way to take territory on the map, get punished because they haven't used the smoke or they haven't used the flash. I feel like the floor of the quality of execution in Na'Vi is the highest we have in the game. So for Vitality to be able to beat Na'Vi on a map like Mirage, I think it comes down to like fundamentals of Counter-Strike, which is basically trading, good spacing, pick up the pace a couple times when you need to. But if you really just do like full-on tactical power, go up against each other, I think Na'Vi's got it. Like I right now, I don't believe anybody holds the candle to Na'Vi's tactical depth. I don't think anybody can. But you can beat them. You can beat them using different ways. The same way when you have a goddamn MMA fight, it's not just both are just going to try to throw really hard punches. Like, there's different ways you can beat your opponent. You can take him to the floor. You can go with the kicks, maybe. You can go to close combat. There's different ways you can beat your opponent. Same with Counter-Strike. I don't believe you can out-call and out-strat Na'Vi right now. But you can play simple CS. You can count on the fact that you're going to trade well. You can create clutch situations. You can force them to the 3v3s on bomb sites. And then you can actually use your individuals to make a difference, because Zywoo remains one of the best late-round players there is in the game. Sphinx, when he's on form and he's not just lurking 500 kilometers behind the action, actually is very impactful. Flames is a crazy entry fragger who keeps on adding event after event after event where he's got incredible maps. He's going towards that consistency. Apex even said in an interview here, he said, I'm not overly excited by what Flames did, because it's starting to happen. So that's what I'm starting to expect. Like, I'm starting to expect him to have these pop-off games. I need him to give me these entries. I need him to have these kinds of games. Before, it used to be when Flames would have a good map, it would become a topic of conversation. We'd say, oh my god, did you see this map from Flames? This is crazy. Wow, like, X Factor, he took everybody by surprise. But because now this is getting more consistent, then we are adjusting our expectations. And we're saying, yeah, that's a good game from Flames. Yeah, he needs those entries. Come on, get ahead. Run a little bit. We know you can do it. We know you have the power. You've done it before. So if Na'Vi went up against Vitality in a best of five, Vitality would have to beat them at the purest form of Counter-Strike there is. Not overcomplicate things. Have a couple of very simple calls. Make sure your trade game is on point. And that would make it a very interesting best of five that I would look forward to. But just to quickly round up on Na'Vi, yeah, I agree with you that the JL performance is one that I think warrants like questioning as to whether it's going to maintain. But it seems like it keeps happening over and over again. And look, Ime right now, after seven map, is at 1.44 rating. He was, 0.80-something at the Major? When they won the Major. So now, I know these are only seven maps, but I think we can both agree that seven map is already a pretty decent sample size. It's not just a series, not just one map. He's got seven maps at 1.40 rating. Is it going to stay at that level? Probably not. But that in itself is an improvement that we cannot just ignore. I don't exactly know what it comes down to. I hope they can shed some light on it as well. Maybe he built up his confidence as they were finding more success and he felt more and more at ease to what he needed to do. But the matter of the fact is, he has gone from being an obvious liability that people were trying to find solutions for and replacement for, to now he just fits. He fits in the picture. He does what he's got to do. He's got some mid-round impact in positions. You talk about Mirage, he plays connector. It's a key position and he does what he needs to do. So they're starting to have a super high floor just in terms of individuals. And on top of that, we don't even talk about Blade. Like, they have the best coach in the game.
That's also the hidden element that no one else can match right now, especially because Zonic is sort of sidelined / capped. He can't get into this game. He hasn't got the stakes to enter this high stakes poker game because he's got Falcons. Is no coach right now can match Blade. Because what Blade has done, think about it, is genuinely, if you were to just mark, here's another way you can look at that page. So remember, the Wonderful joined at Blast Fall, then it was the Blast World Final, then this year, right? So we're talking about 10 months ago, let's say 10 months, right? This is the only team I have ever seen without a number one contender player in the world, like Aziba was simple, etc., that every 2 months gets better, it seems. Maybe they had one, two months in that after the major where they weren't as good. But other than that, every 2 months, it seems like they take a step up. So when they first started, they could maybe play like a team close and lose a semi or a quarter. Then after that, it was like, hey, they're actually one of the few teams playing Spirit fairly close. Hey, they could sort of mix it up there. But oh my God, they won the major. Oh, but then back down to like, oh, they're just a semis or quarters. In fact, they can even every now and then get earlier than that knocked out. Then they've stepped up to that. And then they're in a final again. Okay. Now they're winning tournaments. Now they're at the top. Now they're beating everyone. Now they've percolated. Like, that rise, by the way, if you were a finance guy, that isn't day trading. Like, that was winning the major, bro. Winning the major was not even in the playoffs at Kato. Win the major, EPL fuck-all position down in whatever it was, ninth or something ridiculous like that. That's day trading. That's gambling. That's what might happen to G2 yet. This one's like, look, they might have had little bumps along the way, but when you zoom the graph out on the stock's going like that. This company's a banger. This CEO knows what the fuck he's doing. Investor confidence is growing. All the shit's going on. Bonuses are being paid out to the top performers. And then, so first of all, I don't think anyone can match that. And the other thing, the reason why that is unmatchable, I already think you have the best IGL, but if he has the best coach and the best playbook and the best way of breaking the game down, now all those other teams that made the roster move... You're 8 months, 9 months behind Blade, mate. You're starting over. If you're Liquid, you're still figuring out your map pool. If you're G2, I think you're still figuring out your Seaside. By the way, you're actually fragging so well, you probably don't even know what your Seaside is. Like we say about Malbs, we were waiting for you to be like, oh, what will he do? Like, will he be sort of like in the middle of the pack? So he sometimes runs on the site and just headshots two people. That's not a tactic. There's no coach sits down and draws that up. If you even drew that on the blackboard, I'd go like, is he a real coach? Get him the fuck out of here. That's not even CS. Like, you're actually supposed to draw up on the blackboard. Like, right, if I flash this guy, even if he kills you, I trade him back. Maybe the other guy trades you, puts down the molly. Then the third guy, you know, that's how you'd plan it. You plan for the normal round that happens. So the difference in Na'Vi is they have all of that. And now the performance are there where now it's maximized. Now you're seeing what the system's capable of. It's fucking unbelievable. And the obvious player, like you say, is Immer. Here's why I think he will fall off a little bit. Right, first of all, it's not just... he was great at Blast too. They lost, but actually he played fairly well at Blast, I thought. So let's say for the last 1.5 tournaments, he's had sort of like a pick-up in form. Probably gone too high statistically now. By the way, at this tournament, Na'Vi farmed a lot of bad teams just because of the way the bracket went. They didn't really have to play the top team. And the best team they played is basically Astralis. Like, let's be real. No offense to Astralis. They're not a very good team right now. They're kind of... if there was more time, we'd maybe do them on the next episode. But here's the thing on the Immer side. I always told people... Immer was a very, very idiosyncratic player because there's two things about his game that never made sense. One is if you ever looked, even with those shit ratings, Maniac, where you'd have like a 1.00, 1.03 would be like a good event. If you ever went and looked at his kills, he'd have actually like 0.7 kills. You'd be like, bro, he frags. That doesn't make sense. Like, that implies he isn't a guy, like, normally a bad player with a bad rating. This is why ratings are misleading. Normally a rating makes people think you suck. Like, if you hear low rating, you think Carrigan, you think Alexi, like, these aren't going to be the guys. This guy can clearly kill you. The question that suggests to me, what's the decision making? Does he fit in the system? Does he actually, like, play, does he just do a one-and-done position where he gets the one kill and then he dies? By the way, if you get the kill consistently, you're going to get the high kills, but you're not going to be an impact player. The difference is, and this is why it was totally fair and correct to call for him to be fired, because like you said, bro, he wasn't the guy where he's just like he always goes first and he has no help, or on CT he's got bad spot. He plays the best fragging position on Mirage, the map they're now gods on, and guess what? That's his best map far and away. He is fucking lights out on that map. But one thing that was always the case with his game, if you went back to the bad days, is you go on HLTV, just do the maps individually. And what you would find is this, the couple of maps, I think it used to be like, maybe like, I knew it was Mirage, I think it was maybe Inferno was the other one. He had like two maps he was good on, and then there was other maps where you just drop off a fucking cliff. Like, he's still actually not good on Nuke now. That's one of his worst maps in the whole pool. That's where you can see this guy struggle. And by the way, that's where, if you play a FaZe Clan, if you play a G2, if you play against Vitality, they can get you on that map. That's one of the ones that's right there in the pool. So he's one of those players for me. He's clearly got, like, it's something in his head. It's something about... Is he comfortable in that spot? Is he comfortable on that map? Because actually, normally, by the way, don't do this for most players if you're a fan. It'll be useless. Most players actually, generally, are just good on the maps their team's good on, and the bad on the maps their team isn't good. That's why their team's good and bad. This guy just has certain maps he's idiosyncratically good on. So I do think he'll drop a little bit, but I also think part of it, like I say, is at the moment they can always get Mirage and they can always win Mirage and he always looks awesome. So at the moment, every uptick in factor is there. But that's why the best part about this whole story, to come right back to the beginning, is to win this tournament. Doesn't matter who you play, you're going to have to play a five-map series. Even if that's three maps. By the way, for Navi to win three maps in a row, that's not necessarily something that you'd always say they'd be certain to do. I'd feel like if they play anyone, they go to at least four maps. Bro, if they play a phase, maybe it's five maps. Maybe it's actually the fucking dream and we're just in some wonderland where the playbooks are out the window, people are just making frags, Jail's winning a clutch here, Robs gets two kills at the last second, Carrigan's doing players. That's what I secretly want. So yeah, that's where I'm ending. The other reason why, Maniac, like I said, if the miracle happens and phase makes it there, and I would say Navi's the team that makes it there, it just is such a dope storyline because it's not that long ago. It's only like March, April when we had the major. It's a long time in CS terms when we played all these maps and tournaments, but that's only a few months ago. If you are fierce, that's going to read and like that narrative and it'll be the most hyped final you could put together, I think. If you want to see Navi like either truly ascend or you want to see fucking fierce clans back, that's the final you set up.
Yeah, if Navi were to actually prevail,
that'd be amazing.
FaZe in a best of five in Cologne, back to back after the grand final of the major. Oh my god, this would like solidify them at the very top of the mountain. Like you would have absolutely nowhere to go. I think the last point I'd make about Navi, to touch on this whole best of five thing as well, something that I believe is underrated. I think they currently are, with MAUS, the healthiest group there is in Counter-Strike.
Okay.
I think they're a healthiest bunch. They really are. I mean, obviously, they have Ursula as a psychologist that's very present with them, and they invest a lot of time and energy on making sure that they are in the right mindset. But I have seen, like, this uptick that you were talking about, something that's very specific about them is, like, there's a whole lot of three-map series. There's not a whole lot of, I'm going to stomp you 2-0 and just ride the high, and we all have a good time and we're enjoying ourselves. Very regularly, they lose maps. Sometimes they miss the mark. Like, they have slow starts. To be able to do that consistently and come back into series and bounce back from bad maps, that in itself, I think, is a testament to how they are as a group now, how they are as individuals, how they behave together, how they actually can get their head together after a stomp or after having thrown away a map. This is something that I think might be slightly underrated right now. And moving into a best of five would be necessary. The problem that happened in London is I think they fell asleep at the wheel of the beginning of the second map. And I think this is where they lost the whole grand final. They played the first map, they got surprised by Spirit, and then it took them 6 to 7 rounds to start playing the grand final in the second map, but that was already too late. You already had let Spirit run away with 1.5 maps, with wind in your sail after the first map. The second map is starting in a terrible manner, and now suddenly Spirit is in full force and they're about to smack the hell out of you. And I think for them, that's what really cost them. So if they can avoid that, if they can avoid a Vitality to catch on fire, because Vitality can. We've seen what they've done to MAUS, we've seen what they've done to Furia. They definitely have the possibility. If Navi can, just like FaZe, if Navi can force you to play the game, like force you, just put the ball over the net again. Come at me. We play another round. I think down the line, they're one of the mentally strongest team we have in the field. And this could be very, very handy in a best of five.
I also think if any out of Bit, JL and Aimer are really just walking on water at the moment and eventually they're going to fall, BO5 final is going to show you that. Like the difference in a BO3 is you can just win the two maps, you map and look good, or you can have a series that goes, it's really hard if you go four or more maps to be, like essentially if you ever go look at real best of fives like that, it's usually just the Ziwus and the Simples can really do the bonkers numbers. Because I always say if you ever go to a fifth map, actually you tend to find it's like over, you know, like triple overtime games. By the end, almost everyone's scores are the same.
Yeah, it's aggregates.
You know what I mean? You don't really have one guy has 45 kills and one guy has 12. Like it tends to be everyone, by that point, everyone's spent and everyone's... That's what a BO5 final... So I'll tell you what, if you are any of those players, like Imma's the most obvious one, that's the match where you make your statement. If you do a big rating, some big, like two or three big maps in the final and Navi win, now you can do what you tried to do earlier that was fucking fugazi, which is you can turn to all the haters and go, you didn't even know who I am. This is who I am. I'm him and all that jazz. Whereas the difference is before, that was fucking corp when it's sort of like, hey, I've won the major, so I can't have really played bad. And it's like, listen, you obviously didn't do too much to cost them the major, but you can still have played bad, mate. It is possible. Spoiler, like, I'm not hating. But you know this. There's times when Kenny S won the game and you didn't feel like you had the best fucking match, but you won the game. Like, I think in that sense, look, I get why he did it. It's a defensive mechanism to shield yourself. You don't, the last thing you want to do is go, yeah, I guess I am sort of bad. Maybe they should replace me with fucking Zantaras or whatever. Like, you're not going to say that, are you? You can't ever think that. But part of me did feel like he was a little bit in denial. You don't have anything to deny now, bro. Just go for it. Just fucking play your game. It's actually what I even told him. I'll tell a little story to end the show, which is the second that Na'Vi won the major, I DM'd a few people. Obviously, I DM'd people like Blade that I know, I DM'd Alexi, etc. But I actually DM'd Dimmer, and all I told him was this. I actually told the story before. I just said to him, you have now got a reset to prove yourself again. You've got another chance. Because this win obviously takes the pressure off. Sure. So what you've got is... notice I didn't tell him that, oh, bro, you definitely got it. You're going to be a top player. Like, oh, fuck the haters. What do they know? No, no. What I told him is, essentially, like, this is your chance at a fresh start. This is your reset. Like, now you forget the past. Now you've won. Now you show who you are. Now, it took him a while, but this maybe is his chance. So I'm willing to give him the chance, but I also will say I've been burned on it before. So I'm a little bit safe on that one. I'm going to hold back. He has to win my love over again, you know?